Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the
Transformers.
On this episode of Transmissions, Titans Return Wave 3 figures are hitting online pre-orders now, meaning they're going to show up on toy store shelves very soon. In comics, we review a very Windblade-focused Till-All-Are-One Revolution tie-in, and in media news, more G1 artifacts have been unearthed, digitized, and shared with the Transformers community, much to our delight. We have all of this, and so very much more, on this episode of Transmissions.
This episode of Transmissions is brought to you by Prime Toys, where you can get collector-grade toys without the collector-grade prices. Use the code TRANSMISSIONS at checkout for 10% off all regularly priced Transformers-related items at PrimeToys.net. This includes all Hasbro, Takara, and third-party transforming toys. Please visit them via the image on our site or go to TransmissionsPodcast.com/PrimeToys. This episode is also brought to you with the support of our listeners. If you're able to donate, please visit our support page at transmissionspodcast.com/support. On that page, you will find links to donate via Patreon or PayPal. If you can't donate monetarily, please help us out by spreading the word about our show.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that just got Daryl's toy bill from TFCon Chicago. And oh boy, I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hello. Might I remind everyone that there will be a huge deposit made to Bay Village to help cover Daryl's toy bill.
And Daryl, the destitute Cybertronian beast.
I'd like to remind everyone that I pay my own bills for toys, and I explain myself to my wife. By myself. Let's talk Transformers.
You pull on the big boy pants, huh, Daryl? Yep. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yep. I beg meaning like a you, big boy.
Yeah, meaning you bring in the toys when she's asleep.
Yep.
All right. Yoshi unfortunately couldn't join us this week, but the show must go on. Even without our beloved, no all rubber tires, no textures, loving son of a bitch.
I thought you were just going to leave it there with our beloved.
My precious.
Yoshi, we love you. Come back soon. All right. Donations starting off. It's always a positive note when we've got new donations to talk about.
All right. Who are the new donators?
I hate you, Jeremy. All right. We've got a return of someone who was on the Patreon and has come back. And I think he's already sent out his postcard to enter the Shockwave contest. So good on you. This is, I hope I get this name right. Aeed, thank you for coming back. And we have another new Patreon, Dominic. So you guys are aces in our books. Thank you so much for supporting the show.
Awesome.
And
you guys are amazing.
Yes, thank you. And as Yoshi would say, I love money. Thank you very much. Money's great. I want more money. Did you give us
money?
Did you give us as much money as you possibly could? Awesome. Thanks, guys. Come up with a new Patreon name and with a hyphen and give us more money.
It's like he's right here with us.
Except he mixed up the iTunes review with Patreon.
I would argue that's a natural extension of okay. Yoshi's argument.
Pretty much. Right. I've been working on that impression for a while. I think I nailed it.
All right. Well, keep coming. Keep those Patreon subscribers coming in. We all really appreciate all the support you guys give us. And as always, there's lots of benefits for joining the Patreon, not the least of which is getting access to our Discord channel and getting to listen to the show live when you want to, you know, when we record it. Thanks. Thanks again. Another thing I do want to mention is that we are getting closer and closer to that big episode 200. And as we told you, we were going to announce the winner of the Twitter contest that we put up, the TFTM30 quote hashtag contest. And that's ending. So we're going to stop taking entries this Sunday, November 13th at noon Eastern Standard Time. So noon Sunday on the East Coast of the United States, 5 p.m. GMT in England, and 6 p.m. in Europe. That's also, I believe, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. So anything else, put it into Google, figure out the time zone. But noon Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, November 13th, that is when we will stop accepting Twitter entries to our TFTM 30 quote contest. So again, this is the contest where you can win a copy, a Blu-ray of the 30th anniversary Blu-ray edition of Transformers the movie, the animated movie, the good one. One lucky individual is going to get that, and the way to enter that contest is by sending us a tweet on Twitter, tag Transmissions, and tag hashtag TFTM30 quote. And then put a quote, your favorite quote, from the Transformers the movie. So again, just a couple more days to enter. So as this episode goes up, that is, this is Friday. I believe this is the 11th. So you've got a couple more days to get your entry in.
And all right. I'm still waiting on someone to find the most obscure quote that they can find to try to trip Charles up.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. It won't change your chances of winning, but anything to try to trip Charles up.
And a shout out to Joe on Twitter, who tried to sneak by a quote from the 2007 movie. No, that is not acceptable. Also, it looked like a quote from a subtitled anime of one of the, like, the Transformers 2010 show. There is no quote in the actual 86 animated movie where Galvatron says, "Damn you, Rodimus." That is not in the movie. So those were not accepted. So you got to figure out a different quote.
Okay, those checks are being canceled.
All right, let's get into some toys. Daryl, start us off. What do you got this week?
Well, for people who listen to the show that really, really enjoy our comic section, they're going to love the toy section this week. Because it's minuscule. There is so little to talk about that we really had a really hard time coming up with stuff this week. So keep your eyes open here, because we're going to throw some stuff at you, and if you blink, you're going to miss it. Maybe you should be keep your ears open. I'm just trying to extend this as long as I can. My topic for this week is the Kickstarter that went live for the Mayhem Mechanics set that's... It's up, and it's been around for a couple of years now. I remember TFCon 2 years ago, and these guys presented it. And at the time, I thought that they really looked like Junkions. So they're motorcycle figures with riders. Now, there are 7 different riders, as well as 7 different motorcycle figures that transform into robots. The current Kickstarter amount is at $37,400, and the amount that they need is $55,000. So they still got a couple. They're more than halfway done, and there's still 14 days left. So if you're interested, this is pretty cool. I was just giving it a quick peek. The designer for these figures is Cassie Sark, and he's responsible for some of the nicest figures out there. A lot of them by Mastermind Creations, and yeah, so that's something to know there. These are definitely, we're going to link it in the show notes. The aesthetic on this is kind of like an apocalyptic kind of world, and yeah, so you can definitely take the rider, after they transform into their robot, the rider becomes like a chess piece for the larger robot. But it's a really interesting design for the motorcycle. It's very heavily armed, so it looks cool. I was looking at what kind of a tier could you get that would basically get you one of everything for the least amount of money. The tier is the $135 amount. So that's the Bastard Plus One. Basically, it's going to get you one figure with a vehicle and a prospect. That's the rider. Yeah, so that's... and that's basically the cheapest level you can get that's going to get you one of everything. There's a higher level. If you wanted to go to the $650 level, you're going to get all seven of them. But a lot of people don't have that kind of money to throw at it. There were some cheaper levels. There's a $1 level, which doesn't get you a whole heck of a lot. And a $10 level gets you very little as well. $35 level gets you one of the riders, just a rider. But yeah, this... Some really interesting things. Again, this is the name of the... I don't even actually think I said the name at the beginning. So this is Mayhem Mechanics. The product that they're producing is called the Unrustable Bastards. And it looks pretty neat. Charles and Jeremy, do you guys... have you seen these before? Because I think we talked about them once. But what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it with like the TFCon Toronto third-party panel.
Right.
And they, I mean, it's a decent looking figure. You know, I like the different faces on the larger, you know, combined robot.
Yeah.
But there's just no fiction there to pull me in.
Right.
One thing I have a problem with, you know, that fiction would have to overcome. So the rider becomes the chest of the bigger figure.
Right.
Right. What's the first thing that you would shoot at if you were shooting at a target? It would take the rider. I mean, the fiction would have to explain why he's, you know, the rider is not just a sitting duck right in the middle of the bigger bot.
Right.
But I mean, it just in terms of aesthetics, I like the whole post-apocalyptic look, and I can see some, you know, homages in the smaller faceplate. I mean, there's some elements of Transformer-ness in those heads.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest heads, but there's just got to be something else to pull me in.
Yeah, there's some other pictures. If you go through the whole Kickstarter page, there's some other pictures that will show you the scale. So they've got a picture of him standing with four different Optimus Prime figures, which put him at around, let's say, Voyager class. He's just under shoulder level with MP10. And he is definitely taller than Classics Optimus. So I'm gonna put him at Voyager's height. The 6-inch, like Marvel Legends characters, they will ride him. I'm fairly certain that's a 6-inch Deadpool on there. Or no, sorry, that's a 3 3/4 inch. So never mind, I'm wrong. 3 3/4 inch figures will ride these. So if you've got some G.I. Joes or something else, a G.I. Joe would actually look pretty good on one of these.
Yeah. Get some dreadnoughts on there.
Yeah. But I can see your problem with the fiction. There does appear to be a fiction in the works here, because if you keep going down, there is some comic book art that looks like it's being written for it. So yeah, there is some fiction on the way.
Yeah, it says that each release will come with an 11-page full color comic.
Cool.
That's good.
Charles, what do you think?
I pretty much agree with Jeremy. I mean, I think these do look pretty cool. I mean, they are interesting. Of course, another thing they remind me of are the Junkions, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the idea of a, you know, post-apocalyptic landscape with robotic bikers, you know, that's not the worst kind of premise or setting.
Mm-hmm.
And making the bikes usable for like other 6-inch action figures is a good idea.
Well, 3 3/4, yeah, I had to correct that.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I made the same mistake. I do know that from following this on Twitter and whatnot, friend of the show Pia has backed it. I'm not sure who else. I know one other person that I follow on Twitter backed it, but I don't remember off the top of my head who it was. Obviously, it's getting some support because it's definitely it's more than halfway there. And yeah, I'd like to see it get made because they've been working on this for a good number of years now. So It'd be nice to see them.
Apparently, if you're in London, you can get Orbital Comics, and they have one on display.
Oh.
The most recent update has a picture of it.
Cool.
Okay. And I see it looks like the first one comes with a lot of different heads or faces.
I've never done anything on Kickstarter before, so the page kind of confuses me a bit. I understand the pledge levels and whatnot, but the description page on the side I don't follow what they try to describe usually. But I did see that as I read through the pledge levels, that the 135 level was the one that essentially got you one of everything that you would need to have a complete figure. The estimated release date is July of next year, so it's really not that far off if it makes its goal.
I do think it's interesting. They point out that they have partners with various distribution centers across the world, so there won't be any surprises with like customs fees and stuff. There will, like, I guess their largest markets are going to have distribution already worked out.
Right. Good. That's good. Right on. Well, this is what I brought. Like I said, we're going to have links set up in the show notes if you want to follow it along. And yeah, if this is something that interests you, let me know, because I'm kind of interested. But then again, I've never done anything on Kickstarter. So I know that if you kickstart or you pledge and it doesn't happen, then you don't pay anything. But I don't, I've never really followed or gone through a toy kind of a deal. So.
Yeah, I haven't done toys, but I've done a couple physical products where I did get what I had ordered.
Cool.
And then I've done one virtual thing where I didn't get one of the extras I was supposed to get, or I got the main product, which was like an album digitally, but I didn't get some extra tracks they were supposed to give.
Right.
So you're not actually buying the product with Kickstarter. You're giving a risky investment towards the product being made. So there's no actual promise that you will get the product.
Right.
So, take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we record this, it's got 14 days left, but by the time this episode comes out, it'll be down to probably, I guess, 8 or 9 days. So you're in the final week. If you want to back this thing, you've got a little bit more than a week to back it.
So yeah, let us know if this is something that you're either you're backing already or you're thinking about it, and yeah, keep us in the loop.
All right, Jeremy, what do you got for us?
Well, bring back to actual Transformers content here. Someone on Taobao has listed a number of previously unreleased Creo Warrior figures.
What? Transformers content? Wait a minute.
These are Kreons that, if you've ever wanted to see like Grimlock dressed as someone from the Old West, this is the set for you. Or Bumblebee dressed as a soccer hooligan playing for the Energon team. Or I guess they're sponsored by Energon. This is the set for you. How about Megatron in a gas mask?
Oh, what? Sorry.
You fell asleep again, Charles? We just started the show.
Sorry about that.
So anyway, these have not been released, and I'm guessing they're never going to get released because Creo is pretty much dead. It is kind of interesting seeing, like, this person got a case. So I think some of them did get released, apparently. This is in, like, limited numbers. The soccer one was released. But I don't know. It's just kind of the last gasp of Creon. Or Creo, we're seeing it right here. So, what do you guys think of these? Were there anything here that interested you?
I mean, they're cute. I generally am not into the Creos at all. I mean, I buy them for my kids because they like to play with them. But I'm not a Creo collector, and I'm not interested in crazy themed Creos.
These are terrible. I bought Creos at the start because they were tiny little Lego man sized versions of the characters that I grew up with, the little, and they had a highly imaginative ways of producing the alt modes out of the same pieces. So I enjoyed what they were doing, and they were ridiculously inexpensive. Now what you're showing is like Turtles Through Time type of Transformers. And that's where that genre lost me. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to see, you know, Grimlock with an Old West hat on. You know, I don't, doesn't matter to me. I am glad, if this was the future of Kreons, I'm glad it's dead.
Well, it was either this or some digital prints this week for me to talk about. So I chose an actual toy.
Well, the best of the worst, I guess, is what you chose. And that's all I can ask from you.
At least I showed up for work today.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is all I got.
All right. Well, I've got some actual toy news.
Thank God.
Titans Return Wave 3 is apparently hitting all the websites for pre-order. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for that Wave 3 stuff, if you're desperate to have it and you just can't wait till it hits the store shelves, you can put in your pre-order and probably pay a little bit extra for this stuff, because I think the websites are charging a little bit above mm-hmm. what the normal retail prices are. But, I mean, if you really want them, they're there.
Hopefully, Wave 3 hopefully Dogcades listens to the show, you know, sooner rather than later. This particular figure he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daryl was telling us that Dogcades is a few episodes behind, but yeah, that Sharktacon Gnaw, it's up for pre-order, Dogcades. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this 2 months later, yep. You missed it.
We got together, him and I, on Friday night. And he came over and we were talking about it, and not particularly pre-ordering, but I asked him, I said, so, you know, Gnaw is coming, right? It's coming soon. And he said, yeah, I'm really excited. And I said, so seriously, how many of these things are you getting? Because I want some. I want to be able to find at least one, but I'd preferably be able to get three and I'd be happy.
And come into the States.
I think so. But then again, he has a passport and he goes to the States too. So I said, so seriously, how many are you going to buy? And he's like, well, I want to start with a dozen. I'm like, fuck me, man. Oh man, you bastard.
Really, really, for a figure like Gnaw, Hasbro should just release a case of that one figure, because that is clearly an army builder.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Gnaw and you have Kickback.
Yeah, exactly.
And Bumblebee.
Well, yep. Okay. They have Gnaw and Kickback.
it's a G1-esque Bumblebee.
I understand, yeah. But you're not going to have an army of Bumblebees.
No.
That's just silly.
That's true. Yeah.
Now to
send all of those to Josh Perez and then give us a case of either all Gnaws and all Kickbacks, or a case of just Gnaws and Kickbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Now to give Dogcade some credit, he did say that he may just go online and order them from Toys R Us, all 12, and see if he can get away with that. And I said, well, that would be very helpful to the rest of humanity.
You should just tell them to order 15 and then you take
3. There you go. Do me a favor. Add a couple. But yeah, no, he's on the hunt for 12 and he's going to screw us all.
Well, happy hunting, Dogcades, wherever you are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so Wave 3 includes Six Shot in the leader class. So, mm-hmm. you know, people are interested in that. Definitely. We've got the Voyager class. We've got Blitzwing and Octane. Oh, excuse me. Megatron and Optimus Prime. We've got Deluxe class. We've got Breakaway, aka Getaway, Hot Rod, Trigger Happy, and Double Cross, who has been renamed to Twinferno. And Legends, we already mentioned Bumblebee, Gnaw, and Kickback. And then the Titan Master class, we've got Fangry, Overboard, Taro, which looks a lot like Swoop, and Sawback. These are all toys we've talked about before on the show, as they were earlier mentioned, mm-hmm. and a lot of deep throating reveals way, way earlier in the year. But these are all, I think these are all sought after. I mean, particularly the Six Shot, particularly the Hot Rod, and to some extent the Megatron and Optimus Prime, although I think people are not quite as enthusiastic about those mm-hmm. as they when they were first leaked, but I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about the six shot. I'm ready for another six shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and that submarine mode looks awesome. And wonder what it'll look like if you turn it upside down.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this super short toy section this week. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, Daryl.
I know.
Sometimes it's just a bad week, Daryl. I mean, it's nobody's fault.
I blame Yoshi.
Okay.
He would have added a topic.
That's true.
If he were there, like a masterpiece topic would just pop up.
It would have.
In the news.
Yeah.
He really works for Takara.
Yeah, he was seduced by their rubber tires. All right, everyone, let's move on to comics. Comics this week. We do have another review. We'll get to that in a second.
Yay.
First.
I can't wait.
First off, we've got new Transformers prints featuring art by Guido Guidi. So this is a Pyramid International, and they have new Transformers posters and canvas prints featuring lots of Guido Guidi art. And apparently these will be hitting TJ Maxx and Marshall's department stores. So these are very cool, very retro looking. We've got Optimus, Megatron, Starscream, and Bumblebee in various poses. There's even one that's kind of a classic, homage to a G1 cover with Shockwave in the background there, too. Looks very cool. It does. I mean, it looks very totally 80s. It's like, if you didn't know this is Guido Guidi art, you might even think this was, this was taken from the 80s comics, because it's very much colored in that style and,
the faces
and everything. Yeah.
I wonder if John Paul did the coloring.
Maybe.
No credit for John Paul.
I mean, there's not much credit for Guido Guidi either. I don't think he gets any money for these prints. once you do that licensed work for Hasbro, owns it all. But this is cool art. I mean, definitely, if you're interested in Guido Guidi art in the classic G1 style, we should probably send this link to Yoshi. He's probably would be very interested in this.
Yeah, this is right up his alley.
All right, next we've got another piece of news in comic books. So someone else has decided to commission a custom Transformers comic that is not your normal comic retailer. So this is Ripped Apparel, the people who are known for awesome 80s themed t-shirts, very inventive, very creative work, and a lot of times they do feature Transformers. They commissioned a custom cover for the upcoming Transformers Optimus Prime #1. Oh, that is coming out later this month. And they commissioned a cover that is evocative of the classic Transformers issue #5 from the old Marvel series. That one, of course, has Shockwave on the cover, and it says the Transformers, and underneath it says are all dead, because Shockwave killed them. He only killed the Autobots, though, in the actual comic. And so they have the Ripped Apparel cover homages that, but since it's Optimus Prime, they put Optimus Prime on the cover in the same pose as Shockwave, and instead of are all dead, it says are all one. With the title of the comic Optimus Prime, it doesn't quite work, the phrase doesn't quite work, but I do like the homage to the classic Marvel issue. So this is a really cool cover. I really like it. I think we're going to try to score a couple copies of this. And special treat for all the Transmissions listeners. We did meet up with some of the Ripped Apparel guys at TFCon Chicago. And so they have consented to come on the show and give us a little interview. Talk about their whole business in general and this cover in particular. So forward to that in an upcoming episode.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll get into it when we do interview them. But at TFCon, they did tell us they were insistent on "ye all are" or all one phrasing, even though it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I think the artist was like, "Are you sure?" And, you know, they wanted it to be the homage of on the wall.
Mm-hmm. This is another reason why they should have kept the name of the comic Transformers, though. But, yeah, this looks cool. Daryl, what do you think of this cover?
I like it. I like the homage. As I look at it, I'm thinking, like, why hasn't this been done before? You know, I recognize that it's been copied with some Shockwave toys and some other things, but why hasn't it been homaged with Transformers comics before? Because it's an iconic cover from the 80s book, right? But yeah, mm-hmm. it's a great cover. I really like it. I don't care that the statement doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it has, and it's something we don't remember. But
maybe
I don't remember this ever being homaged in a previous Transformers comic. But maybe a listener will correct us on that if they
probably
can send us a link. All right. Well, I think that's all the comic news. So let's get into our review. Jeremy, what issue are we doing this week?
We are doing To All Are One Revolution, or Revolution To All Are One, whichever makes you happy. This is written by Margaret Scott. Art is by Naoto Tsushima, I believe. Colors by Dai XT. Letters by Tom B. Long. Editor is Carlos Guzman. Publisher is Ted Adams. This is, I think we've agreed this takes place before Revolution number 4, right?
Before number three.
It's almost...
Some of it takes place before issue 1 because they show Soundwave and Pyra Magna getting Windblade from Cybertron. But I think the chunk of it takes place before issue 3.
Okay. So... You can blame Third Sergio for all of our confusion because he did a number on us all.
This is what happens when you let Patreons chat at you while you're trying to record a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So this has only 4 covers, one of which is a sketch cover. So we can go through these. The first one has Windblade and Metro Titan looking into the Microverse, it looks like. That is done by Sarah Petrie de Rocher and Thomas Deere on colors. Subscription cover A has the microversions, or that's what I'm going to call them. It looks like they're falling into a giant Windblade eye. That is by Naoto Tsushima and DiXT. Subscription B is a sketch cover, and Retailer Incentive has Windblade and Lady Cesarella. And I put here, round one, fight, while Windblade is looking on at herself fighting. And this is part of the King Christensen multi-cover piece, so these will tie in with other covers. So which one of these kind of reached out and grabbed you guys?
None of these covers were really awesome for me, but I think I'll go with Sarah Peter Drew O'Shea's regular cover as the best of the three, or four, I guess, if you count the sketch cover.
All right. Daryl?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Charles. The regular cover was probably the best. Being a Transformers title, and you needed to at least have Transformers visible on the cover. And the subscription cover, you could hardly make out. I mean, you could tell that was Windblade's eye, but the characters involved were visible on the cover were hardly Transformers. And then
they weren't even in the book.
Right. Well, we'll get to that. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
But the incentive cover, I mean, it didn't. The art on it wasn't my preference. The blank cover is, I mean, I'm getting overrun with these blank covers right now. But the Sarah cover was probably the best for me.
All right.
November is the artist month, right? Artist edition month, right?
Yeah, but that's not a sketch cover. That's a just a black and white line art.
Oh, well, I seem to remember we get a lot of sketch covers in November. But I don't know.
Well, anyway, I think these are just tie-ins to Revolution. They just want to do a bunch. But I will make the circle complete and also choose Sarah's cover. Mm-hmm. I think it is the best out of what we have here. Yeah, it's just not too big on having all these characters that we don't see anywhere else in the book show up. But let's go on with the story itself. It starts with a black page that says, as the revolution rages on Earth, Windblade, the city speaker who communicates with Titans when no one else can, remains on Cybertron. Clearly, that is to kind of set up to someone that does not know who this character is, exactly what's going on. Starts off, Windblade is getting a rude awakening several days ago when Pyra Magna and Soundwave sneak onto Cybertron to retrieve her for a discreet operation of Optimus Prime's. Metro Titan is not talking to them, and Prime wants Windblade to find out why. In the present day, they're still trying to find out what the problem is and what system it's in. When a random comment by Pyra Magma gives Windblade a moment, and she realizes that maybe the Titan isn't talking because he doesn't want to. You know, being a sentient being and all, he has that choice. So in the system that would allow a bot to merge their mind with the Titan, a screen has a symbol of an early Prime. The Tiafuki actually says this is a version of the symbol of Primon, the earliest known Prime from the G1 episode Five Faces of Darkness Part 4. So, since Optimus's life is way too important, Windblade decides to risk her own life and interfaces with the Titan. Metro Titan is upset that a non-Prime is attempting to merge with him. Windblade explains that she's the best he's going to get because the trust between Primes and the rest of Cybertron isn't exactly what it used to be. The Titan examines Windblade's history and deems her worthy enough, and he puts her in contact with Myokronus Prime, who has a message for Optimus. He can't tell it to her, though. It must be lived, and suddenly Windblade is forced through the Entropy Cloud and is some kind of an energy being that's been captured by Baron Karza's forces. Lady Shazrella is notified about the new prisoner and tortures some information out of her. She gives up some information about Cybertron and about their species, but leaves out bits about the fractured nature of their society in an attempt to make them seem a little bit more threatening. Soundwave and Pyra Magma are concerned as the torture is showing effects in the real world, but bringing her out now would risk leaving her brain at least partially in the Titan, and it's too risky. They aren't sure exactly what would happen. As Lady Shazrella is called out to meet with Baron Karza, Windblade is freed by one of her servants. Unfortunately for the servant, they're not as lucky, as soon as Windblade starts to disappear and return to Myokronus Prime, the servant is killed, as Lady Shazrella realized what was going on. Myokronus explains to Windblade more in detail about what's going on and that the OR-13 is the key to saving microspace. And when she returns to her own body, Windblade informs Optimus of all that she's learned. Unfortunately, Optimus is not trusting of another Prime, and he refuses to help. Windblade pleads, but in the end, she says she has to accept the judgment because of his status as a Prime, you know, being a religious figurehead, even though it's been previously established that she's not that religious. But Optimus doesn't see himself as divine, and it kind of ends on that note. So this was a very quick read to me. It kind of falls apart in the end, especially the whole, like, where she's like suddenly going against her characterization in the past about being kind of non-religious. Now she's kind of taking the whole Prime figurehead thing a lot more seriously. But I don't know. I mean, other than just kind of giving some background to what's going on with the Microverse, this just seems like kind of a throwaway issue. What did you guys think? Daryl, what did you think about this?
I particularly didn't like it. First of all, the art was okay. It was much more anime-esque than I was used to for the title. Like when I saw that we were going to be doing a Till All Are One book, I assumed it was going to be the same creative team as the More Than Meets the Eye one and the Transformers one. But yeah, it's definitely not. The communication and the part about Optimus requesting Windblade to come and communicate with the Metro Titan, I get. It makes sense to me that that would be something mm-hmm. that he would do.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the Windblade having to communicate with the Microverse, that I didn't understand what they were trying to do, because from what I could tell, it looked like she was a hologram, but then the whatever the hell this person's name was, Lady Shrizella.
I said Shazrella.
Shazrella?
I wrong. I don't
whatever.
Know.
Yeah. She interacts with her. Like, she grabs Windblade's face. So I was confused as to what form Windblade was taking at this time, because obviously she wasn't a hologram and she could be hurt as well while she was in this form. So I didn't know what the hell was going on at that point. So it started to lose me there. Obviously, these faceless characters, they wanted Windblade's help. Again, they interact with her and grab her as well. But yeah, I didn't understand the I guess being as though it's Windblade is interacting with the Microverse. That's the whole Revolution tie-in. That's where it ties in. Now, see, when with me, it's art first over story. So the fact that Optimus and Windblade look like they're normal comic selves, and then you go into the Revolution books and they look completely different, that fucks with my brain. So that pulled me out of it right from the start. But other than that, I mean, the story wasn't, it didn't seem to have any kind of place. So yeah, I mean, I expected a lot more out of this book. I was like, when I went into this story, I thought, okay, here we go. Transformers has a Revolutions crossover or Revolution crossover. And it's going to be, this is going to be one of the better ones because it's Transformers.
And it's Till All Are One, which has been a very strong book. And this does not follow that. Like, this does not feel like the same book.
Exactly. This was a disappointment for me on a few different levels. So I'm sure it moves the story along Revolution wise, but as for me, I was disappointed. And as I just like, I mean, I must have spaced out. It is written by Scott, so she just obviously had a mandate of what she needed to cover in the Revolution book. So, but yeah, as for me, it's disappointing.
All right, and Charles, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Daryl, your points are pretty valid. I think the problem that this issue has is similar to the problem with the the Micronauts tie-in, Revolution tie-in, and a little bit the ROM Revolution tie-in. So I think the other Revolution tie-ins had the luxury that they didn't have to drive the main story forward. And so they could tell kind of side stories that weren't related to the main Revolution miniseries, and you could have fun with it. So, I mean, particularly the ones we reviewed last week, Action Man and Transformers, they focused on kind of self-contained stories. Here, the Till All Are One book has the responsibility that it has to basically tell you, why is Windblade on Earth when she was on Cybertron? That, you know, that was a question since the beginning of Revolution. And then how did she know anything about the Microverse, which happened in issue 3? So basically the only reason this book exists is to answer those questions. And then, you know, there's the attempt to kind of weave an interesting story around that. But I think it's hard to do that if the point is just to put those plot points out there.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate, though, that finally the, you know, one of Victorian's combiner components gets a little bit of, you know, of characterization. I mean, not a huge amount,
but yeah.
Pyra Magna is the leader of the Torchbearers. She's there, you know, with Soundwave. They're the two people sent to get Windblade from Cybertron. So.
I think I said Pyra Magma throughout the review.
Oops. Oh, well.
Just putting that correction out there myself.
I did think the art was pretty strong throughout the book. I think everyone looked pretty good, but I do think I have to actually disagree about Windblade. I thought she looked like basically, you know, the traditional anime girl in Windblade cosplay. In particular, she's pretty boobalicious. I mean, it's. I mean, I know Windblade is kind of the very feminine shape, but here. It's kind of taken to the extreme with, you know, she basically looks like, you know, a girl in a Windblade suit rather than like a robotic, you know, female, you know, like a robotic female robot. I'll just complete the sentence there.
Right.
I mean, like Pyra Magna, she's also a female Autobot and she, you know, she looks like an actual robot. Windblade looks like, you know, she's a cheesecake or whatever.
Yeah, and also she's drawn to be a lot smaller than some of the other bots, like Optimus and Soundwave, where previously she's been smaller than them, but not significantly smaller. I mean, she turns into a plane, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see that as well. And yeah, the features are definitely more pronounced on Windblade. Actually, it was Sergio in the chat here who pointed me out to it, because my read through, I didn't notice it, but going back and looking at some of the panels, I did reading Transformers comics. I don't tend to actually look at that kind of stuff. It just kind of goes through and because I've never thought about it while reading Transformers books, but
you don't have that fetish.
No, I guess not. But
you do not hang out on Tumblr.
but yeah. So I guess looking back, I'm like, oh yeah. Well, there's some definite curvature in that. It's not they're not straight lines and angles anymore. And then the hips are definitely a lot more widened.
Well,
on that
just go back to Sarah's cover and look at that compared to the interior art.
Right. Yeah.
Significantly different.
Yeah. Well, Sarah knows what she's doing.
But yeah. I mean, she regularly draws Windblade.
Yeah. But even this.
Yeah. I mean, in particular, it's jarring because all the other Transformers are drawn much more Transformer-y. Like just Windblade being the central character of the book, she's singled out to get the kind of super anime, you know, mm-hmm. art style.
Yeah.
So it's really noticeable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it has its place. If everything else was drawn in that same style, that's one thing, like you said, but all the other characters are drawn more normal. All right. Well, I mean, if no one else has any more comments, then that is to all or one revolution.
All right. And that'll finish off the comic section. So let's move on to some media news.
All right. Media news. Transformers Earth Wars is still a thing. And they have announced a new event where they are doing Earth Wars. And they are doing combiners. So how are they doing combiners exactly? Well, apparently if you collect all 4-star aerial bots or Constructicons and to rank up Superion or Devastator in the combiner lab, you can combine them. Yeah, I'm sure I'm saying all this wrong because I've never done it. But you got to get all 4 of the aerial bots or the Constructicons.
No, you have to get all 4-star.
Oh.
Because there are more than 4 aerial bots in Constructicons.
Well, yeah, but I thought it just said 4 of them. But yeah, I guess. Makes sense. Yeah, so is it only just those two? Superior and Devastator? because I think I've got all four of Victorion, so that would suck.
Yeah, I think they're starting with just those two.
Aren't there six spots for Victorion and six spots for Devastator and five Victorion. Spots for Superior?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you count the little motorcycle guy that goes in the chest, it's six, but I don't think they do.
And it says in the TFW post, it says 3-star aerial bots are Constructicons.
Yeah, and then the following post says 4. I don't know. Somebody do it and then tell us how it works. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not playing it. Yeah, there's a short video here in the post if you want to watch it. I'm sure it explains it a whole hell of a lot better than I'm doing. But yeah, the models they're using look a lot like the Combiner Wars figures, so that's always been one of the good things that Earth Wars has been doing, has definitely been keeping the characters looking a lot like their toys. So if you're into the toys, you'll probably enjoy this event. Next, some G1 scripts have surfaced online, and these are thanks to Jim Sorensen's blog, The Disciples of Boltax. So he's put up he's put them up on his drive, his Google Drive, and you can take a look. So him and it looks like Chris McFeely has also done some work at writing them out and getting them all put together for us. It's pretty neat to see some of these scripts here. Just going to open one at random here, Divide and Conquer. That's cool. These are scans. These are PDF scans of the scripts.
It looks like Jim and others bought them at auctions when they came on, and then they've scanned them in for the good of humanity.
That's nice. That's pretty awesome to just go through this. So yeah, we'll have this linked in the show notes as well. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So if you ever wanted to go through and actually try and read and act out a part, you now have full scripts.
And yeah, thanks to Jim Sorensen. He's a well-known Transformers super fan out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked on a couple of books that, Transformers themed books. I think he did the Allspark Almanac. Mm-hmm. Also that, the Legacy, the G1 box art, he helped, put that together or was one of the people driving that effort.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a well-known, Transformers guy. So
he knows some stuff. More of that unreleased G1 cartoon audio from Transformers at the Moon. So this stuff is becoming pretty fun to listen to. If you haven't heard any of it yet, you should take some time and check it out. So two new clips have hit the interwebs. Some audio from Transport to Oblivion and some audio for Roll for It. Two pieces of audio that are put up there. The Transport to Oblivion has additional audio. And Roll for It has some missing and additional audio. So take a listen to those if you have the time. They're kind of fun.
We're still waiting on the Transformers version of that infamous Thundercats recording where they just get so totally nasty and curse and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that yet.
That would be funny. But yeah, that's it for media news.
All right, and let's go on with trips to the store. All right, this is where we show off all the cool Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video segment on YouTube, so you can see all the stuff we got. And we also describe it to you in loving detail in the podcast. So without further ado, let's get into some trips to the store. All right. Yoshi's not here this week, so I can tell you that Trips to the Store is sponsored by PrimeToys.net. Collector-grade toys without the collector-grade prices. Use our code TRANSMISSIONS at checkout for 10% off all your regularly priced Transformers items at PrimeToys.net. That includes Hasbro, Takara, and third party. Check out PrimeToys.net, transmissions code. It's just that simple. All right, Daryl, start us off. What cool and exciting items do you have to show us?
Better make it worth it.
Well, I've got some comics. Revolution number 4 with the just the regular cover there. And Jalalar 1, the Revolution tie-in, the regular cover, which we just talked about. So, yeah. Let's see here. What to talk about? I showed this off at TFCon Chicago, but I've now taken it out of the box and messed around with it a bit. This is Takara Blur. And holy crap, is it freaking awesome. The paint on him is phenomenal. And really, it's really, really nice. I'm looking forward to getting a brainstorm, Charles, because of the being the same mold.
Oh, I sold them for $100 last week. Sorry, they're gone.
Bastard! So, but no, he's a really good figure. I'm really, really having a good time with him. I picked up a wheelie, and I've been messing around with him. You guys, everyone has been complaining about how hard he is to stick together in his alt mode, so I fucked around with that, and he sticks together a lot better now. So,
what did you do to fix that?
I took a knife to him.
As you should with Wheelie.
Yeah. Wheelie likes it when you take a knife to him.
Shanked him.
So in the comic review, I said you didn't have that particular fetish. Now I see you have a completely different fetish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's the two pegs that, they're I believe they're on the legs, on the inside of the legs, maybe. I don't know exactly where they are in robot mode, but I just shaved them down a little bit because the problem was is that they were trying to fit in and they were just too wide. They're just popping out. So mm-hmm. I shaved them down ever so slightly and just kept trying it until they clicked and it worked. I picked up Clobber and Skytread. So I am now done with the current available Titan Masters. So I've got all 8 first two waves. They're fun. I love these little guys.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy hooked me up with this. This is the Runabout and Runamuck from the Transformers Collectors Club. I gave him a small bag of nails.
Yep. They're great. I just leave them on the floor for me to step on.
Yep. He took the trade. I don't know. I come up with the best deals.
You said they were rusty.
There you go. These are cool. Out of the Transformers Collectors Club, I've never really been into a lot of things, but when I saw that they had done this two-pack, or actually they came out as single pieces, right?
One was a freebie, one you had to buy.
Right. So this kind of clicked with me because Runabuck and Runabout were always kind of funny characters. They always were the same mold because they were brothers or friends, or I don't know what the fuck they were.
They're just battle chargers.
Right. Yeah. So these guys were always cool with me. So I wanted this and Jeremy had one for me.
Yeah, and the box homages their comic appearance.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that issue 23 that really gave them a whole lot of personality. I mean, that was basically Runabout and Runamuck do America. It was,
right.
It was a really
yes.
cool issue.
Yeah. At TFCon, I got my commemorative series Prowl signed by Michael Bell. And this continues my signature series of commemorative series figures. So
series.
So yeah, this is something that I've been trying to do. I actually only have one left. I own a Red Alert that I don't even know who the voice actor is for Red Alert, but if I ever meet him, I'll get him to sign that.
It was Michael Bell.
Was it really?
No, I don't know. I have to look at the wiki.
I don't know who it was, but
if you ever get Sue Blue, you should just get an RC,
mm-hmm.
on the bubble signed and just put it with all the other
I will. And I guess last but not least, I had picked up a number of the Kabayas. So one of them was Ultra Magnus. And I did him. So here's Ultra Magnus.
Here. Here's that fetish again. Very cool. Nice.
He's fun. So yeah, the transformation is kind of, it's annoying to have to take the arms off and move some shit around. But other than that, he looks good. Like, I think for the size and what he is, he looks good. So yeah, he's fun.
How'd you feel about the stickers?
Eh, they're okay. I mean, you pay.
Wait till you do Fort Max.
Yeah, I'll see how far I get with that.
For the Magnus Kabai kit, does the cab turn into a white Optimus, or is it not? Is it?
No, it's literally just a flip up thing. I'll see if I can show you here quickly. So it actually just sits on the back of him, and you just flip it up.
Okay.
And now he's got the cab there.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it works. It definitely does the part, and it'll sit on a shelf and collect dust. But yeah, that's what I'm showing off today.
All right. Jeremy.
Well, as you can see from the background, I'm not at home. I'm at my parents' house right now, so I don't have anything with me.
Your parents didn't hook you up with any Transformers while you were there?
They left. They're on vacation this week.
You got no boxes in the basement?
Oh, crap. You know what? I could have gone up to the attic. I think I got something.
We'll wait. Go ahead. No, we won't wait, actually.
Okay. I'll actually go up and look through a couple boxes I know I have some stuff in, and I'll tweet a picture if I find something. But, yeah. I actually thought about, I was going to try to stop by a comic store this afternoon and look through some back issues, and I just never got a chance. So, well, I'm not here to buy toys. I'm here to see family. So.
Shame, shame. You don't watch Game of Thrones, so that's
no, I've seen part of the first episode.
Yeah.
What'd you get, Charles?
All right. I also got the Revolution comics this week, so Revolution number 4. To Lawler 1, Revolution tie-in. Also, Rom the Space Knight number 4. Transformers are mentioned.
Starts here.
Transformers are mentioned in the book.
Yeah, it's somewhere. Terrible. I'm cutting that out.
Prime Toys at TFCon. In addition to the Chrome Dome I showed last week, they also hooked me up with a Mind Wipe. Did not have time to open it. I will open this, though, and play with it.
Why would you? There's no rewind to go with them.
I just thought the Bat figure was really cool, and I liked the E-Hobby Optimus Primal figure they made out of this, and I just thought the Bat was cool. So, there you go. And the color's good. Purple's, and the head is nice, so... And he's in the comics now. Mindwipe was in All Hail Optimus. He was helping Galvatron with his mind control powers. Tie-in. Reference.
Boy, you shake that thing around quite a lot.
You gotta have some movement in the video. I don't know.
check this out. I want to show you my thing.
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing. All right, that'll do it for this week's Trips to the Store. Thanks, everyone, for watching. All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we're going to move on to closing up the show with some feedback.
Some feedback from episode 197. Seal Slammer commented, and he was surprised that Fort Max had the anime theme, and... Also, he liked hearing about Daryl's father-daughter moments. Or no, I guess Daryl's and who was the guy that wrote in? Tony. Yeah. Multiple father-daughter moments. And then he comments on how he's put off by some of the fandom's obsessive reaction towards the new Masterpiece Megatron. I guess because he's saying that because already half the fandom is slobbering over it, hailing it as figure of the year simply by showing a prototype, and immediately they're going, fuck third parties, even though when the figures are officially out and have good reviews like Despotron. So I can see his point there. Daryl, what do you think? I mean, should people wait and not and hold their opinions on Masterpiece Megatron until he actually is out?
You're asking me this when I last week dumped all over it. So
that was last week.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people are gonna complain about it and are gonna really, really like it. And that's fine. I mean, I know Yoshi has been looking for a Masterpiece Megatron for quite some time. And regardless of what Deathrotron or Mitron or whatever else comes out in the next little while look like, Masterpiece is going to be Masterpiece, and that's all he needed to know. So, yeah, that's you're not going to be able to show people the other side of the coin here because they just want the official, and that's fine, right? I guess if they want to, you know, I guess if as far as waiting and reserving their judgment, we're not ones to comment on that. It's, you know, it's what we do every single week is make comments on pictures, right? So we really can't comment on that.
I think most of the fandom is really going crazy over this because there's a much larger portion of the fandom that can afford a Masterpiece toy rather than a third party toy.
Right. But like I said,
finally there's a good Megatron that they can afford.
Like I said before though, like this Masterpiece Megatron is going to be approximately on the low end, $120. On the high end, $150. How much is Despotron? $150. Mm-hmm. Right? These are right in the same boat as far as price points. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when it comes down to price, it's not, you know, third party and Masterpiece are not really in the same or in any kind of different ballparks anymore. Unless you're talking smaller figures, then you get a little bit more higher prices for the third party stuff. I don't know. It's one of those things like you can't use that argument for just sticking to your guns. If you want to have the legitimate mainline figures, that's fine. You're dedicated and that's what you want. But don't try and push everybody to saying, look, these are the only ones because they're legitimate, blah blah blah. I need to have, you know, everything to be with their faction symbols and everything else is knockoffs and, you know, all that other thing. It's not. It's, you know, you start to sound like idiots at that point. But it's, yeah, I have no problem with people wanting to have mainline only. Just don't try and force it onto everybody else or try and tell everyone else that they're buying crap. I don't know where I was going with that.
All right. Well, we'll clean that up in editing.
Just cut it all out.
No, I mean, I think Daryl, you're right that people should get what they like and but not dump on what other people's buying choices are.
Yeah.
I mean,
people like what they like, and you know, it's fine.
Yeah,
let's go on to an area that we don't actually talk about that much. We have some YouTube comments from episode 197, Trip to the Store. Mike Honcho says, cool stuff, guys. I seldom regret watching this segment. Thanks for the heads up on the Value Village donation dump. Mm-hmm. He's jealous of your Skullgren and G1 Brainstorm, but Yoshi's Megatron blew him away.
The Skullgren and G1 Brainstorm will be in the Value Village dump, so just get there early.
So there you go. Yeah, but you know, Yoshi just kind of won, you know, with that Megatron. Christopher P. Kent Sr. said the best or his favorite part about the ripped apparel Prowl shirt that Charles had was they used his old Prowl car that he sold to Transformers cars a couple years ago. He said he gets a big kick out of the idea that it's a specific year and model, the 1979 280ZX, that seems to be coming the official G1 Prowl. So I'm not sure if he's saying that his was used as a model or, you know, or what, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then what?
I was going to say, Christopher, have you got some pictures of your, of that car you had? Let us see.
Yeah.
That. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I know I've seen a car like a Datsun decked up as Prowl at a BotCon before, but I don't know what year or model it was. All right. And then we have an email from Paul Calicote. He says that he loved all the con stuff and he found a brainstorm while on a trip last weekend and he's going to be checking for another one, but he's asking us, should he wait to open the one he has or until he has another one or go ahead, you know, and hold off on it because it's a store exclusive. And he also wants to get our opinions on opening exclusive figures. So I would say with Brainstorm, it's not going to be a rare exclusive. You can pretty much, like I went to a Walgreens the other day and they had two on the pegs and you can go online and get it. So I would say go ahead and open it. You'll find another one. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah.
Charles, what do you think, man? You want to open your figures?
Yes, I'm going to open mine. I'm going to open yours too, Daryl. These are going to be plentiful. So, I mean, if you want to keep one unopened, I mean, go ahead. But, I mean, I would say if you want to play with it, play with it.
Yeah, don't be afraid that you're not going to find one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in general, on opening exclusive figures, my opinion is it really depends on the figure. If I found a G1 Megatron that had never been opened, that is never going to be opened. Mm-hmm. But if it's a more modern exclusive, I probably will. What do you think, Daryl? What's your opinion?
I tend to kind of agree with you on that. But again, my opening of figures tends to lean towards more or less of playability, or more towards displayability. I don't really play with a lot of figures. I don't own a whole bunch of exclusives to begin with. The ones that I do own are some of the ones I've gotten at conventions, like a couple of the older TFCon exclusives I have, and they're all opened. But again, like, one that I found out recently is super rare, and I did have to buy it online just because I wanted it, was the Deluxe Soundwave from Dark of the Moon. Now, it's on a card, and just by looking at it, you'd think that you would have been able to get it at a Walmart or anything, but it's the Soundwave that's in the Mercedes-Benz alt mode. So it never came out here in North America. But I wanted that vehicle or that figure, and I went online and I bought it and I paid $36 for it. Well, it turns out it's worth upwards of $100 now. It's at least nice. Around 90. So, well, it doesn't exist anymore, right? Nobody's selling it. Nobody has any. So, my intention was to never open it because it was more of a display piece as I had to go online to get it. But knowing now that it's gone up in value, I won't be opening it at all. But yeah, my collection, as far as opening figures, I tend to keep them sealed if I have no reason to open them. I've been
like
trying
your,
to,
your robots in the skies.
Yeah, exactly. They're cool figures to look at, and I've heard such great things about them as far as their transformation. But if I open them, I gotta put them somewhere. And as of right now, they are acting as the wallpaper of my room. I hang them up on a chain that makes them look like store pegged, and then I have just tons of figures just on the wall as wallpaper, and it's really cool looking. So I tend to leave a lot of them in package on card. And yeah, that tends to mean that I buy a lot of figures and never open them. But again, these are a lot more modern, but they're definitely not exclusives. So when it comes back to exclusives, I have to come back and say, like, yeah, I don't really get a lot. I guess recently I did get some from Charles from when he was at BotCon those couple years ago. He got me two of them. He got me the Scorponok and the what the hell is his name? From the one episode with Smokescreen.
DevCon.
DevCon, yeah, him. So I got those two off of Charles. And once I got them home here, I opened them right up. Right? So I wanted to mess around with them. I knew that this Scorponok was a brand new headmaster that headmasters hadn't been done in a while. And I was like, what the hell? They're doing headmasters again. This is so awesome. I wish they do them again. Little did I know, headmasters were right around the corner. But yeah, so I did. I opened them right up. But it's to me, it's more about playability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'll be opening up the Brainstorm when it does come to me, if it's not already opened.
And Charles, you have anything to add?
Hold on. I'm opening this Brainstorm here, I guess. No, I agree with what Daryl's saying. It's kind of hypocritical coming from me because, you know, I actually do buy these things intending to open them, but I just somehow run out of time. And every time I'm like, I should open this before we do trips to the store. And then somehow it comes to Sunday night and I haven't opened it and I haven't gotten a chance to mess around with it. And it shows up unopened. But I definitely say when, you know, these are things that are to be enjoyed and experienced. So, you know, even if they're, I mean, you know, and it also depends on your collecting style. I mean, if you're collecting exclusives for kind of the dual purpose of, you know, bragging rights of having them and then one day selling them, you know, then I guess it makes sense to keep them unopened. But if,
yeah, I mean, I still have BotCon 2011 set, the Stunticon Job animated set.
Right.
I have opened it in that I have taken the toys out. I think I've transformed one or two of them, but then they are still in the box practically untouched.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, if it's a case of you just want to kind of keep them on the shelf for posterity and eventually, you know, either just, you know, for display purposes and potential resale, you don't open them. But if you have no intentions of, you know, of getting rid of them and you just really want to experience the figure and it's something cool to play with, I say do it.
All right. Well, that is the end of our feedback for this episode. So, Charles, we'll wrap it up.
We're at the end. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Yoshi will tell you all the good stuff you should do to support Transmissions at the end of the show. So don't turn off the episode yet. Listen for his outro. It's very soothing. A couple of things that aren't mentioned there, though. Again, remind you that our Twitter hashtag contest is ending. Hashtag TFTM30Quote. That is ending, so get your entries in by noon Eastern time on Sunday, November 13th, and you will be in the drawing for a 30th anniversary Blu-ray of Transformers the Movie. Again, send a tweet to Transmissions, send a tweet to our Twitter with the hashtag TFTM30Quote and a quote from the 86 movie, and that's how you enter the contest. We also have the Masterpiece Shockwave contest still going on. You just have to join Patreon, support the Transmissions Patreon, and then send a postcard to Yoshi. His P.O. Box address is in the Patreon page of the podcast, so you have to be on Patreon to find the address. Simple as that. We still have our listener survey going. I think we're going to cut that off at episode 200 as well, so... if you have some opinions about the Transmissions podcast, get them in soon because we do have some tweaks, changes in the works after episode 200. So, you know, make your voice heard. And I think that's all. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by visiting our sponsor, Prime Toys, at primetoys.net. Be sure to use our promo code TRANSMISSIONS during checkout to receive 10% off any regularly priced Transformers item. That's any Hasbro, Takara, or third-party Transformer. For a more personal touch, you can also support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmission swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play is also a great way to help support us at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You'll find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. And finally, check out our petition to help bring back a G1 Transformers comic. Thank you all again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
I don't know what you're talking about. Quit staring at me. See, you love the soundboard.
It's a marker.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys not hear the soundboard from Zencaster?
It only goes through the VoIP and probably somehow in Zencaster. We'll have to see if where it ends up.
It's a mystery.
Admit it, you guys love the soundboard.
Never.
It's like, oh, well, your hair, it just looks all disheveled. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. And one of the guys is there, and he's like, dude, your hair looks good.
Daryl, you're still muted. Unmute yourself.
Sorry. Just taking care of some business.
Didn't you say he was also Hoist? Yeah, so Hoist went Hollywood.
I should not be laughing at that.
But you did. Just like you love the soundboard.